Hala.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You have any questions today?
No, I think you answered mine and then it's all.
I'm sorry, say again.
I said, no, you answered mine in the mini Zohar.
Oh, okay. The timing of that was better in the Zohar anyway.
Well, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have probably asked you a question and answer, but when it talked about the male and female waters and I mean, it just looked like
Yeah,
it was meant to be.
no, it was the right time.
So.
We're waiting. See who else comes on and what questions that out.
Okay.
Ruby, Ruby.
Good evening, Ruby.
Good evening, Hanas.
Do you have any
We're the
questions?
only. No.
Okay. No, you're not the only one on. There's a few others.
Okay, I'm going
We're
to mute
just
my
waiting
phone.
for, we're waiting
Okay.
for questions as well. I'll wait another 4 minutes and hopefully a question will arise.
Hanok, I do think I thought of something.
Okay.
Okay, you know, several weeks ago, we were in the 3 weeks period, and we had the meditation that we utilized every day, you know, where we...
Right.
And the fourth part of the meditation was to change... what was it, Ratsas, so that it would, I mean, Sarah, that meant trouble, or change to desire and a more positive thing. And, my husband had to have, well, he didn't do well on his stress test, but they had the machine almost vertical and at a real high speed. And because he walks and he's on the treadmill. So he's used to the treadmill. But anyway, because he got out of breath, the heart doctor decided to do a heart catheterization to see if he had any blockage. The procedure was less than 40 minutes. And when they called me in to talk to me, they said that he had no blockage, he didn't need a stent, he didn't need surgery, but he was nauseated, and they had given him something intravenously, and that he would be back in the day surgery room for a short time, so I could go on back to the day surgery room. And he was kind of gagging and heaving. And they said they had given him something intravenously for that. Okay, kind of to make a long story short, what actually happened, and we didn't find out right away, a piece of a plaque, when they introduced whatever it is they insert through your arm, through your hand, through your arm, down to your heart, broke a piece of loose plaque, went to his brain. And it wasn't until 2 days later that we found out that it was actually a small stroke, not a mini stroke, because the neurologist told me that mini strokes keep happening. This was because of the procedure. He didn't wake up, at the end of the day, so we had to stay that night. And then when he did wake up, he couldn't keep food down. He couldn't sit up by himself. He could not walk. And everything was upside down. What he saw on the ceiling was on the floor in the opposite way. And anyway, I just felt like, and by the end of the third day, he was back to normal. And the doctors had said that he, it was healing, that nothing needed to be done, that it's something that happens very rarely. The heart doctor told him that he's done over, thousands of procedures, and he's only had one other case like that. Well, I felt like, because it was the 3 weeks, And because I had been doing this meditation, that was why we got the results of what we did, of what I did, I should say, because he didn't do the meditation. Can I feel secure in believing that? I mean, I felt like that was a test for me of the tools of Kabbalah. And I felt like that was the reason that he came through, which could have been a very serious thing, a lot of trouble, you know, with a stroke. And this was just a minor thing, and we were told that it didn't indicate that he would have a stroke. This was just strictly due to the procedure.
Hannah, what difference does it make in your utilizing the tools to know that it was your protection shield that you'd been creating through the meditation was valid or not? How will that change who you are and how you view the tools? Do you need that validation?
No, but I felt like that's what it was, but I'd like to know your perspective. I felt like that whole month, it was like the tools were being tested in my life.
And I accept that. I understand that those were your feelings. Are you asking whether I have the same feelings, that I have the same opinion? My question is, the question you're asking isn't really clear to me. You have these feelings. You've had other feelings over the years that we've been studying together, and we've talked many times in that area, and you utilize the tools consistently. My question is, what difference does it make to you whether your intuition, your feeling is correct or not? If your intuition was incorrect, would you stop using the tools? God forbid.
No. It's just that I wondered if it hadn't been the 3 weeks, and I hadn't been doing the tool at that time because the 3 weeks were over, would the situation would have been different? Maybe that's the better question.
Then the answer to that is yes, because the whole structure of God's plan is the right action with the right kavanah at the right time in the right location.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you change any of those four items, in this case, you're saying you would be changing the time. So the it's not the same procedure.
Okay.
Because it's in a different time.
So that's an example of Hashem's mercy during the 3 weeks?
Well, the question is, and you and I never discussed it, was it an emergency that he needed to have the stress test, or could it have been put off till after the 3 weeks?
I suppose it could have been put off, but that was when the doctor said do it. So.
Well, and that's, you know, Tony doesn't study in the same level that you do. That's not a reflection on him. It's just the reality of your relationship. He depends on you to study. And you depend on him for other
right. He has his gifts. You're different from mine.
Exactly. So, and your marriage is, what, 60 years old, 50-some years old?
Yes, 50.
Well, Hashem. So the point that I'm making is if it could have been put off and you had asked me about should I put it off or shouldn't I would have said to put it off. And if it had been done outside of the 3 weeks, it would possibly not have happened. Because by then, that item that broke off in his body would have broken off in somebody else's body, and it would have been unnecessary. So we can't know that. We're not that prescient that we can say, oh, this would happen if that had happened. You know, it's not the way that we don't have the capability yet. And the real question is, even in the times of the prophets, people would go to the prophets and ask the same question that people ask me. Should I have the operation now? Should I go on go to the ocean on a vacation during the 3 week period? And it's the way that people phrase the question. I've already made the plans. I want to go. Should I go? That's so many times the way it's phrased to me. What does the person want to hear? And they're not interested in the truth. They just want someone else to say, oh, go ahead, everything's going to be fine. And I'm not criticizing you for raising this question. I'm glad you did. It's a good question. It points out to people that there's an element of doubt that entered you.
It was all over that I thought of this. And the reason
But at the time, when the thought came in after it was all over, you could have said, go away, thought. You're from Satan. You're an element of doubt. Or you could have asked the question as you did. It's not a question of you get a thought at different times. You get a thought at the exact right time that is appropriate for that issue. But it's, you know, the system doesn't tell you, oh, I'm going to give you this test. The system is saying it's all over. Everything is fine. Here's a little bit of doubt. Are you going to hold on to that doubt and let me seep back in, or are you going to stay connected and trust your intuition? Now, that's not the way you look at it, because you accepted the thought. And it's easy for me as a teacher and as someone listening to your question to see it as an element of doubt, which is not easy for you at that moment. But always understand, if it's your tikkun, you're not going to be given the information that it's your tikkun. You're going to be given a situation and you're going to make a decision. Do you use the tool when you make that decision? I'm sure Tony didn't ask you, should he have the situation, the procedure? The doctor told him to have the procedure, so he made the appointment. Now, I don't know that to be true, but I'm sure, you know, my intuition tells me that's what happens. Because I know you're more connected to the study.
You were having a procedure. And so I thought, okay, if an Oak's having a procedure, I'm not going to, you know, say,
exactly.
Oh.
I had that same decision.
Mm-hmm.
My decision, my thought process, because I had a colonoscopy in the middle of the 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to myself was, am I going to be ruled by fear of the 3 weeks, or am I going to move forward and have the colonoscopy? But that was my tikkun, my questions, the way I had to perceive it. You have a different set of conditions. It's always relative to the individuals involved. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. There's just the process. And ultimately, whatever happens in the physical world, that is part of the plan of creation. Hashem has said, if it happens in the physical world, I wanted it to happen. Does it mean you're going to have more chaos in your life? Does it mean it's going to be a longer process? That just means that you needed to experience that. Now, at the moment, they said to me, let's have the colonoscopy on this Friday. They gave me a date. I didn't think about the 3 weeks. After I made the appointment and I accepted the appointment, that's when I realized it was in the 3 weeks and I had to deal with that issue. Do I accept that it's in the 3 weeks and that's okay because I'm connected and I'm comfortable with the process? Or is this something that I need to change because I have some aspect of fear that has settled into myself? So yeah, I went through my process and decided what I did. Would I do that same decision again? I don't know. If I didn't do it right, I guarantee you I will have another procedure that will happen in the 3 weeks next time. God forbid. If I did it right, it'll never be presented to me to do it in the 3 weeks again. That's the way the system works.
Well, I didn't think of the meditation until after, you know, we got home and maybe the days after, you know, a couple of days after that, you know, the tool had worked, even though I wasn't thinking about it, you know, associating it with, you know, so.
I don't think I have told you this story, and I wasn't involved closely with the Kabbalah Center at the time. But around 2004, Rabbi Berg had a stroke, and he had a stroke in his brainstem, which is always fatal.
It's fatal. Yeah, that's how my brother mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. Because your brain stem is literally the lower consciousness, the body consciousness. The brain stem is how you breathe, your heart pumps. All of those basic functions come from the brain stem. So if you have a stroke in that area of your head, it's almost always fatal. It's really, the doctor says it's fatal. And that's literally, the story is as it's presented, I wasn't there. I've heard this directly from the people involved, but that doesn't mean that their perceptions of what happened were correct, because whenever you hear about somebody having a stroke and it's a loved one, you're not going to be reacting, thinking straight. But the way it's related is that the doctor came in to Karen Berg and said, your husband has had a brainstem stroke and it is always fatal. And her response was, no, he didn't have that and it isn't fatal. Now, Now, what's the issue? The issue is certainty. And the people who were visiting, who constantly were around his bed, describe the Rav has had now in the past, but always had movements of his hand whenever he said the Ana B'Korach. He was visualizing light flowing from his hand to that part of the body. And so his hand was, for 20, 30, 40 years, was constantly roving and moving around his body. And literally, he was in a coma, lying in a hospital bed, hooked up to the machines that were breathing for him and doing everything. But his arms were moving. He was healing himself, is the way the people around him perceived it. His arm and his hand was moving around his body, around his head, around his heart, all of that. So, did he heal himself? It's up to you to decide. Does it matter to you if he healed himself? Oh, I got to go study the Kabbalah for 40 years like he did so that I would have the knowledge of how to do that and the practice, and my body consciousness would be so ingrained with that movement that it would happen automatically. It's always relative to the people involved. The question is, this happened to you the way you described it. Now, you then get a thought after the fact, 2 weeks later, a week later, the next day. And what's the source of that thought? Is it coming from the positive system or the negative system? If you're constantly used to questioning each thought, what's the source, positive or negative, then you would have questioned that thought. But it,
well, my thought was that the meditation is what carried us through. And I guess sharing it with you all and who all is listening, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just thought it was an important thing when it came to me. So
I understand.
And really, I don't think I had ever gotten around to letting you know that it was a stroke, because right at first, you know, they told us they had given him so much and given him a Valium, they'd given him Benadryl and something for nausea and the anesthesia, and that he was going to sleep most of the day, and they wanted me to take him home around 3 or 4 o'clock because day surgery shuts down at 6. And I said, how am I going to get him from the car to the house? And if he's gagging, he's no shoke to go home. And so they admitted him, and it wasn't until the next morning that then we saw that he couldn't walk, he couldn't sit up by himself, you know, and the room was upside down. So that's when they began to put two and two together and did a brain scan, and then nothing showed up. And then by the third day, he was himself. And I never did get to talk to you and share that with you. And anyway. I'm glad
Baruch Hashem, there was nothing happened, and he healed. Whether he healed himself, whether he healed from outside, whether he healed through your prayers or other people's prayers, Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. That's what's important.
Right. Right.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Tell me about Rabbi Berg. He was fine when he woke up, wasn't he?
The way they described it is He was healthy. He was Rabbi Berg, but he wasn't the same.
That's because he was needed on another level to get more knowledge, and then he was sent back.
That is correct, and he finished the book Nano. I think it's called Nano. I've mentioned it before. That was the last book he wrote, and that was the book he finished. He started it before the stroke, and he finished it after the stroke. So you're absolutely correct, Brandy.
That's the knowledge that I got when you told me about him. Because I don't know. So I thought you should know.
Okay. I thought he was doing the Tikkun HaNefesh. That's when I read the book.
He did the Tikkun HaNefesh every time he did the Yana Bekoa.
Mm-hmm. But then saying that he was moving his hands body part to body part, that was my thought. You know.
Exactly. Are there any other questions? So our next class is a Tikkun Zohar class, which will start at 8:30 West Coast time. And tomorrow at 4:30, we will continue our study of the Egaret Teshuvah, the letter of Teshuvah from the Tanya. At 7:30 in the morning West Coast time, we will be doing Slichot tomorrow. And at 8:30 tomorrow night, we will be doing Tikkuni Zohar. And we have the two classes, the two regular classes. One at 4:30, as I mentioned, will be the Egaret Teshuvah. And the one at 7 o'clock will be the Zohar class for the Parashah of Shoftim. Have a beautiful evening and shalom to all.
Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.